Welcome back, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started pretty much on time. We have entities specific disclosures. I'm going to hand it over to Andy.
Thank you. So I'll get started on the prepared material for entity specific disclosures in a second. But first, since this is a task force under the auspices of Expo International and the Best Practices Board, John is going to give us a quick introduction and a bit of context to where the task force is coming from.
Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm going to do that in a very macro sense. Thanks very much, and I'll try to keep this pretty brief. Some of the things that we've been discussing this morning demonstrate the intersection, not to say conflict, but the intersection of two different regulatory perspectives and two different ways in which electronic reporting does tend to get used. We see XBRL being used very, very heavily by financial regulators, and in that environment they are utilising XBRL in a templated fashion. They are using XBRL with complex, multidimensional, quite granular data. But that is, or at least is intended to be, fixed. On the other hand, that same toolkit provides, as we've also discussed this morning, a much more flexible environment in which companies are able to express what's unique about them. They can use the XBRL to tell their story in their, within their financial statements. And that underlines the fact that principles-based reporting is a vital part of our financial system. So XBRL doesn't oblige firms to put square pegs into round holes. It doesn't require them to use templates. We do see countries in which that is the reaction, or perhaps the initial reaction, of securities regulators and stock exchanges. They say, produce a financial statement. Oh, and by the way, would you fill in this template? Clearly, we see that as a progression, and we want people to move away from that as fast as they can. But different countries operate in different fashions, and we're dealing with an awful lot of countries around the world. But what it does instead oblige firms to do, if they want to use XBRL for IFRS or any other gap-based, principles-based reporting, is it does oblige firms to use extensions. Now, we've all seen some of the problems that extensions has created. We've had a big live working environment in which there are issues to do with extensions, and it's from experiences in the United States and in other countries which perhaps haven't had the best time with extensions that the XBRL International has sought to try to provide a little bit of guidance and a few constraints. We think that this process does require software to get smarter. It requires them to be thinking about particularly the traversal of relationships, and that is something that is a somewhat above and beyond many software packages today. A lot of analytics go, all right, there's a concept, I'll use that and I'll use it the way I'd like to see it. They don't do what the technology allows them to do, which is to say, here's a concept, and it's related to this concept, and it's related to this concept, and that's a concept I know about. How am I going to use that one? So one of the things that, from an international perspective, we would certainly urge the software industry to do is to put R&D effort into that, with similarly academia. But that traversal of relationships can only occur where the relationships do exist. And one of the problems that we have, and Andy's presentation will bring out, is that we do get islands of presentation. We have someone say, oh, here's an extension. This extension doesn't have any relationship to any other part of the XBRL document, which makes the analysis of that extremely difficult. And we hope that that the work that ESDTF does will help bring a close to that. And the way that that should happen is through a combination of guidance, some best practices, hopefully also, over time, some constraints. So some constraints within the raw specifications that say, if you are going to impose these suggested constraints on extensions, then here's some ways that we can enforce that at a technical level. So if you are not using those constraints, or if you're not following those constraints, then your documents won't be valid. But of course, that also requires that the software needs to be able to interpret those relationships or work towards that. our expectation is that this does inevitably lead to some very predictable behaviours. So the predictable behaviours that we can expect is that large, sophisticated, well-capitalised corporates which are reporting with XBRL and that have extensive coverage are likely to use their XBRL reporting in perhaps creative ways. They're going to really leverage it to tell their story. We could also expect those without so much coverage, those with perhaps a greater need for the capital markets, to perhaps do less of that, do less expression, to be thinking about these things in terms of, well, how can I constrain myself to things that make me comparable? And these are some of the other choices that this work that this group has been working on does provide. And at a macro, in a macro sense, if you think about the way that capital markets are changing around the world, some of the new technologies that are coming into effect around the world, not tomorrow, not within 2 years, but you know, the most overused saying at the moment is don't underestimate how many changes will occur in 10 years, but don't overestimate the changes that will occur in 2 years. Everyone, it's at every single fintech conference in the world at the present time. But those changes are real, and we should expect that they will have very substantial changes to capital markets. Given the structure of capital markets today, given the very significant pressure on especially small and medium-sized enterprises around deleveraging and the failure or the drawing back of debt instruments. So this makes this work perhaps more important because we can expect many more companies than just today's listed companies to be utilising IFRS disclosures in exactly this fashion. So these aren't academic issues. These are questions about discoverability. So if you can make yourself discoverable, whether you're a listed company or not, if you can provide your story and make that compelling investment case in many fora, then this isn't academic at all. It's all about expanding innovation and providing capital around the world. So that's rather grandiose, but the work of the ESETF just to solve this issue associated with islands in disclosure and some other stories which Andy and I'm sure Lewis will describe are very important. So I hope that provides a big macro picture of what we see with some of these issues.
Thank you. So now I shall get onto this. It's a bit long as a presentation, I'm afraid. It's also got a reasonable amount of XBRL terminology in there. So I'm hoping most of you have had at least some exposure to most of the terms that we'll use. But if something just does not make sense, then I'll stop and to do tell me and I'll explain a bit further. So we're going to look at just an introduction and talk about where this task force comes from in a little bit more detail. We're also going to look at business cases. We've actually produced quite a number of business cases as part of the work the task force is doing, but I'm going to go through a couple of examples that explain why we think this work is necessary and what the problems are that we're trying to solve. And then we're going to go and look at some of the things that the group has discussed for handling entity-specific disclosures in XBRL. And that includes ways that exist at the moment and that are being used by organisations around the world at the moment, and also those that the group has been discussing separately that we haven't seen in practice yet. And we're going to try and leave some time for the ITCG to give us a bit of feedback at the end. If we run out of time for full discussion, then we would also appreciate that feedback in written form or in other discussions after the meeting. So as a quick introduction, for the purpose of the group, what do we mean by entity-specific disclosure? Because it's not, most people around the world talk about extensions at the moment because that is one of the primary mechanisms. But as a group, we didn't want to limit ourselves to discussing what extensions can do. We wanted to discuss all the different ways it is possible to handle these disclosures outside the base taxonomy. So they're made in a report. They're probably specific to the entities, or they're something that's only reported by a small number of entities. They're not going to be found in the base taxonomy because of that quite specific nature. Most base taxonomies do not try and cover the whole reporting domain for this kind of reporting. And obviously, if there are regional or industry taxonomies, similarly, they would have given themselves constraints for what they cover, and they probably will also not be able to cover these very specific items. The task force itself is set up, as I already mentioned, under the auspices of XBRL International. It reports to the Best Practices Board, so its main remit is producing best practice work. But if if relevant, we can also recommend others. And it's got joint chairs, so Lewis is also chair of this group and will probably be interjecting at various points during the presentation if necessary. I suspect it will. So the basic purpose of the task force is to investigate why these entity-specific disclosures are being created, what they're used for, what they're intended to represent, because it's important to know what it is that we're trying to report correctly. We also want to document current user difficulties with working with them at the moment using existing XDR systems, but also just in general. We are aiming to describe best practice principles and potential solutions for helping users get more information about these disclosures. And if necessary, we could go far as saying we think we need a new syntax solution here, we think we need something new in XDRL, but that would then be passed over to the appropriate XDRL standards working groups who deal with that type of work. The initial scope, it's quite a big topic, so as we started discussing, we've kind of got towards an initial scope of items that we'll cover. This doesn't mean other things will never be covered, just that this is where we're starting to keep things within a sensible discussion. So we're focusing at the moment on financial reporting. So that is mainly numeric reporting. We're looking at the XBRL syntax for working with these disclosures, and we're doing that for both with and without the use of extensions and for pair extension taxonomies. We're also looking at the interaction with filing rules directly related to this, so a filing rule that says, do you create an extension taxonomy or not? But we've decided for the first part of this work not to try and answer the overall questions about filing rules, what to tag and what not to tag, because that's a much, much bigger topic. And also XDR International now has another working group that is focusing specifically on the filing rules topic, which will help in that area as well, we hope. The future scope then includes moving on, because obviously financial disclosures doesn't cover non-financial and non-numeric reporting. Even in financial reporting, we still see narrative disclosures. And so we're going to want to come back and look at what happens when somebody wants to disclose something very specific in narrative. We also want to potentially come back and have another look at the filing rules related to tagging because there is such a close interaction. But again, this will almost very likely be an interaction with this other working group. We've also got other topics potentially to be handed over because there are other task forces that are working in these areas. So for example, designing a taxonomy to work efficiently with entity-specific disclosures is very much in the remit of the taxonomy architecture task force, which already exists. So we have plenty of interaction there where we take issues from the one group and we pass them over to that group. We also have potentially the idea of designing a taxonomy for coverage, and all these types of design issues of things we'll hand over to the appropriate working groups, mainly the TAG tier. So the summary of work so far, I discovered trying to summarise this that the group has actually got through quite a lot of work so far. Something that we've done, spent the first part of the working time with, were presentations from regulators and software vendors just describing what's going on at the moment in the market. And we actually had quite a large number of those presentations. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to have time to go through them in detail, but we heard from the UK, we heard about the US, we heard about Denmark, the Netherlands, we heard about various projects in Asia from the presenter. We basically had a pretty good briefing on what's going on around the world at the moment in handling these particular types of items. We've also been, as I said, documenting the business cases, the descriptions of the problem and what it is that we're trying to solve from a business perspective, not a technical perspective, what it is that's missing at the moment that we think users might need. We've been discussing additional syntax and existing mechanisms. So the existing mechanisms are all things like inline XBRL, the existing link bases that people are already potentially submitting in some of these projects. So, for example, the extension taxonomies for the US SEC already require that these additional presentation links will be available and that some information can be gleaned from those. Various people during the previous session were talking about how important the relationships are that are also provided with taxonomies. They're not just lists of items, and these are examples of some of those relationships. There is functionality using a thing in XBRL called typed dimensions, which is a different way of allowing us to group items. Which again is providing a type of relationship, but that particular mechanism doesn't require an extension taxonomy, which is why it's been interesting to look at. Again, inline XBRL, some people, because of the way that it merges the formats, there's been some discussion about how inline fits into this picture. Obviously, it doesn't provide tagged information about these specific disclosures, but it does keep them in context with the tagged information. We also have, in particular, something that's been floating around as a sort of a discussion point in the XBRL community for a while, is this idea of providing an additional syntax, which is just a single dedicated anchor. We've also talked about that in some detail, and I'll come back to that particular proposal. There's quite a lot of work in progress at the moment. We're working through summaries of where we're getting to of conclusions so that the group can start to finalise work, and of course we've got quite a lot of writing up to do. The aim for the task force output, mainly the initial output, is to distribute these business cases to show people what the problems are that we're trying to solve so that they can evaluate for themselves how the solutions work for their various systems. High-level discussion of the impact of those issues I said that were out of scope for the group, so taxonomy, design, reporting format, relationship with tagging rules. We can't ignore them, but again, we want to leave the main detail in those areas for the appropriate groups to address properly rather than have us try and fudge them in a timescale that's not going to work. The other thing that we want to produce is a discussion of the different mechanisms that I've been detailing. And so it's a description of them, what information they provide about entity-specific disclosures, and also importantly, what it is that they cannot provide about those disclosures to allow people to evaluate the mechanisms for use in regulatory reporting systems. And again, that will then include recommendations for regulators and recommendations, if necessary, we can get back to Expo International itself and say, and this is something we think you need to do to help make this work. So are there any questions on that first section and the scope of the project? Hopefully that was the most straightforward bit.
To a task force output, is that already available, or is that output that will be published in the future once the work is finalized?
It's
just mentioned here.
Yeah, it's not already available. It's planned output. Some of it is getting quite close to finished. Some of it we've still got quite a bit of writing to do. We're very definitely aiming to get something out as soon as possible, but we're also aware that we don't want to publish something that doesn't actually solve anybody's problems or is too incomplete. So it's a bit of a balancing act. We are trying to get something out as soon as possible. Yeah, could you just put your microphone on as well?
So that the entity-specific discussion in the, this is the problem of this discussion is how to providing some kind of the rule or method to the when company extended their own tags. My understanding is correct. To homo usability of the users.
Yes, but it's for when a company is disclosing something really specific.
So behind of these discussions, maybe we have some kind of consensus to the extension is maybe reduce some comparability or the usabilities.
The group, one of the principles behind the group is that we're assuming that the disclosure is correct. And we're also assuming that whatever an entity is doing with it, how they've modeled it and producing it is correct. We're not making judgments on whether or not those items should exist, or whether they're being tagged correctly, because that's to do with tagging rules and to do with the financial standards themselves. All we're doing is saying, if they exist, this is a good way of handling and improving the information about them.
And the issue is very similar issues against the company extension. One of them is the cost problem, and the other is the usabilities. And this discussion is only about the usability, or
it's primarily about the usability, but obviously we know that cost is one of the things we've got to bear in mind.
Yeah.
So we want to make them more usable. We're aware of the fact that if we come up with a solution that is extremely costly, that's unlikely to then make them more usable in the market because it won't be implemented. So both pressures are applying, but what we want to do is focus on making them more usable and then look at our solution and work out what happens to that in terms of cost.
Because they're using XBR, which is including a company extension, and I don't think that extension is wrong. I think extension is necessary, so that's why I wanted to ask you, Rana.
That's fine. They're all useful clarification.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll move on to giving you a couple of examples of cases that we've seen or discussed that sort of explain why we think this is necessary, what's wrong with the current ways of handling these. So basically what we're trying to do is put together a description of what the user information requirements are, what it is a user needs to know about these disclosures in order to work with them properly, and also where we see gaps in information available. Now, the business cases that we've actually produced are quite long, they are quite detailed. We really did do some very serious analysis on exactly what information users would need out of this. However, I've put together a couple of smaller examples so you can get a general idea, but obviously you'll understand, comparatively speaking, they're not complete. So, for example, we've also tried to abstract these business cases to general cases so we don't have to continually discuss each and every single case we find in a financial statement. We want to classify these and get information requirements for types of entity-specific disclosure so that we can solve the problems with these major types and hopefully see where there are things in common. So one of the types that we've looked at is this idea of a disaggregation of a base taxonomy item. So this is where we have a reasonably high-level base taxonomy item. It's probably some kind of total. It might be total revenue. And there are components of this disaggregated item that are reported, and some of those components might be entity-specific components. They're reporting their revenue for a particular subsidiary of that company. That's not going to be found in anybody else's financial statement. So that's going to include cases where the base taxonomy item itself might actually not be reported. So we have disaggregations of a subtotal that's not been reported, and I'll come to an example that shows this next. And it also potentially includes areas where we've got a disaggregation, but for some reason or other, rounding or other reporting differences, it doesn't necessarily sum. We can't assume that these roll-ups are always complete. Because hopefully it's relatively rare, but there are cases in financial statements where it is necessary to report something where they are definitely disaggregating items, but there's no expectation that the roll-up at the top is complete, potentially because of overlaps between items that mean that it's not a complete sum. So this leads me to the example that we've got here, which is actually to do with disclosure of income tax. So we have a very simple example where a company is disclosing some information about their net cash, and they've provided two very specific income tax figures, one for PRC enterprise income tax and another for the Hong Kong profits tax. And they've directly subtracted those from the cash generated to create a net cash figure. Now you can see I've added something in there, which is that they've not reported the total tax paid. So at the moment for most systems, if we're assuming that we have an extension taxonomy, we'll discover that even with some kind of link base telling us that there is a cash item and that there's an income tax item associated with that and there's another income tax item, and at the end of it we're getting a net cash, we have nothing that tells us formally that those two figures in the middle are related to tax. The only information we've got is in their label. Now, of course, labels can be looked at automatically by software, but it requires natural language processing. It's not the easiest, most efficient type of processing in order to get to that figure.
And it's not explicit.
And it's not explicit. So we're basically missing the information in this case because the total tax has not been reported. Even with the most comprehensive type of tagging that we have for these at the moment in the US, we still don't know that that is a tax figure. Potentially in the UK, we have a slightly different situation, for example, where in the UK they wouldn't ask for an extension taxonomy, but they might say tag both of these as total tax, and I'll come to that later as one of the alternative ways that people are working with this. But in general, we potentially think there's missing information. If these don't sum up and we don't have that calculation relationship, then we don't know that they sum up, or even that they're potentially components. And without total tax paid reported, we can't clearly identify that they're related to tax. And a similar aggregation business case is working in the opposite direction, where what an entity wants to report is an entity-specific subtotal or combination of items, an aggregation that's entity-specific. So again, we have various interesting sub-cases for this. Aggregated items themselves, the items which are being the components might well be entity-specific. They could have base taxonomy items, they could be a mixture of both. All we know is that we've got a set of components. They're not all components are necessarily disclosed separately in the report. This is where we come to the idea of material figures. So the note may not necessarily contain all the components of one of these subtotals. And an entity-specific aggregation might well itself be a subtotal that then contributes to a further aggregation point up the financial statements. So for a quick example here, we have a situation where we have a number of base taxonomy items, and then at the bottom there we have an entity-specific subtotal which says that it's total depreciation, amortization, provisions, and write-downs. And the only real information that we've got there about that list of components is potentially in the label. If we've got all those items reported elsewhere, they may be in the financial statement in a note, But because at the moment there is no mechanism for linking that note to the figure on the financial statement, we don't know that those components are related to this item, even if they exist. So we don't know quite enough about that. We do know something about other write-downs of fixed assets because it's been disclosed there. But again, we don't know quite enough about it because it doesn't really have any links to say it's something to do with write-downs and fixed assets. There's incomplete information. And there's kind of a third case that's a bit more tricky to deal with. It's also a bit of a theoretical case. We're having some fun discussing examples for this, which is this idea of standalone, or also within the group we're referring to them as orphan items. So they're basically the case where somebody has disclosed a figure, but they're disclosing it in isolation. It's not intended to contribute to an aggregation point. It's not intended to contribute as a component. It doesn't have any components in the base taxonomy. It's not an aggregation of existing figures. It's a standalone reported item that's describing a particular situation, for example. Now, in theory, this kind of disclosure might have a really general relationship. I mean, it's quite likely we'll know something about it, that it relates to assets in some way. So that kind of information might be available, just as a something we can work out if we happen to know where it's been presented in the statement. If we're in a system that gives us that information in an automated manner, so an extension system, we might be able to work that out. But we don't get anything very specific. And in particular, the problem we're having here is it's actually really difficult to find examples of these items that don't have relationships to base taxonomy items. It might theoretically be the case that they don't exist, because if they're in a report that's under a certain reporting system, then surely it must be the case that they link back to something in the base taxonomy for that reporting system. Or it might just be that we haven't found them yet because they are relatively rare. It's also a reasonably debated point, because some people find it very easy to see relationships with some of the examples we've found so far, and some people are finding it much harder. However, one thing we can agree on is if they exist, they are going to be lacking information, because that's reasonably clear.
So I just wanted to add on that slide, it's interesting that a lot of our discussion started here. This idea that there were these orphan items that existed, and that's what we needed to tackle. But after all the discussions of the group, it turned out that maybe these really aren't a problem. There's clearly other issues that we need to deal with that Andy's been going through, but the idea of an orphan item was more a matter of filers simply not having tagged something appropriately, or not really understanding the need to tag it a certain way. But as we went through various scenarios, we weren't actually finding good examples of things that were orphaned. So we've kind of parked that as a topic for now and focusing more on the other areas.
Can you share something about this orphan
item? Can you turn the mic on, sorry?
The meaning of these orphan items. It means that there is no linkage from the presentation link basis?
There may potentially be some, but because they're not closely related to a base taxonomy item, it might only give you a really general idea about them. So obviously they are presented somewhere in the financial statement, and they're potentially, depending on how the system works, you may have a link that says it's under this heading.
Yeah.
But in some cases we see, for example in the US, we see cases where that heading might also be entity specific.
Okay,
so then all we really know is it's in the financial statement, and it might be vaguely related to assets or something along those lines. So it depends.
Yeah, and I think there's an important distinction between, you know, it's orphaned because it hasn't been tagged appropriately, or in concept is it orphaned, or theoretically. Because once we looked at the scenarios, we said, well, that has a relationship to this, that, or the other thing, and we could have structured something.
There's two meanings. One is the link to the appropriate to the link basis, or from the basic taxonomies. Because I think at least several items must be belong to the basic taxonomy, like asset, total asset.
Yeah.
And every item must be to the including in the total asset or total liability.
Exactly. That's why I said potentially there is an argument that says it's nearly impossible to have something completely unlinked, but reporting may be leaving them in a situation where that's not happening. And some others in the group have argued that actually they have found examples where something really is very unrelated to the rest of the reporting, but is relevant, so it has been reported. But again, we're having trouble finding those examples. And when we do come up with them, we'll bring the discussion back.
We had one or two examples, and the general consensus was, why would you even tag that?
Yes, I mean, that was the other issue. Isn't this oriented? But anyway, most of the stuff we've discussed is leaving that for the time being while people hunt for examples, and we'll come back to them. Okay, so how do we work with these in XBRL? We've already sort of started to mention some of the ways they can be worked with while examining what information we potentially do and don't have for those existing business cases. But just to summarise, the information available for interpreting these can be influenced a bit by reporting format. This is where inline XBRL comes in. It is a more accessible report structure than plain XBRL, in the sense that whilst it does not provide a tag for these disclosures, it doesn't produce them in the instance document, the generated XBRL data report at all. What it does give you is something you can work back to as a context and go and look at that has the information around it tagged. So it provides a kind of basic level of information. However, what it doesn't do is give you much more to work with than kind of that surrounding tag context. You can try and derive things based on the presentation, but you're taking a bit of a risk that the presentation around it is the most appropriate information. There's no formal description for working with a computer system based in it from inline. Base taxonomies without an entity extension can do some things themselves to try and allow people to include these in the data file, and we'll discuss that in a second. Then, of course, there's the mechanism we're all most familiar with, which is the idea of asking the preparers to create an extension taxonomy of some kind themselves. Now, there's a whole range of possible options in there because a taxonomy itself has a number of components. So we'll talk a bit about how those different components potentially come into that. So first things first, just looking at what the base taxonomy can do. If for some reason it is not desirable that preparers produce the extension taxonomy, is there anything at all that can be done without going through that step? So mainly the cases we've seen at the moment are the idea of, it's mostly for disaggregation, so that's the idea of having a number of specific components that tie into a known base taxonomy total. And we see two main XBRL mechanisms used here. They're both things that the base taxonomy can do, and it includes some items in the base taxonomy. The information then appears in the XBRL data document report, but it, obviously you don't have any additional taxonomy information from a preparer for these. So the first one is using XBRL explicit dimensions. So these are the categories that you see listed explicitly in a base taxonomy, where it says, if you're reporting categories of property, plant, and equipment, here's a list of possible categories, and we will put those categories in the base taxonomy for you to work with. So it's possible to do this in a really general way and say, here is a list, or this is where we're going to ask you to tag all the information about the segments. We don't know anything about your segments, we don't know what the names are, that's all really entity-specific information, so we'll just ask you to mark them as segment 1, segment 2, segment 3, segment 4. All information associated with the segment 1 will then be grouped together. You know it's something to do with a segment. You have to then go to other processing to work out what about that segment is reporting. There's a very similar mechanism using another XBRL syntax thing called types dimensions. Now, these don't require you to do very much in the base taxonomy. All you put in the base taxonomy is a thing that allows you to tag a category by providing your own values. So there's no values provided in advance for this group. And in general, to get around that, the cases we've seen of this in use so far say we're going to limit those values to something really basic. So you say this is thing 1, thing 2, thing 3, thing 4. They're extremely general. They don't say this is income tax thing 1 or income tax thing 2. However, usually there is a line item that tells you what's going on. So if we look at an example of a type dimension, we can see here, this second one could also say total tax paid. It's an error I spotted after I posted the slides. So for example, this could be done using the base taxonomy and no extension. The first entity-specific disclosure, the PRC enterprise income tax, the taxonomy would say, okay, I can tag this the total tax paid. However, it's not the total tax paid, so I need to differentiate it and say this is a component of total tax paid. And I give a piece of information that says this is component 1. And that's what that dimension provides. For the second one, you say this is another component of total tax paid. This is the second component of total tax paid, and you differentiate it that way. So this mechanism doesn't require the preparer to do anything. However, it also doesn't preserve the information about the fact that is from PRC Enterprise or from Hong Kong profits. It tells you it is a component of tax, however, which is one of the things that we discussed was missing from this business case when we went through it initially. So it provides some extra information. It's a way of putting through so that there is something available for users to work with when they see this in a report, but it's very low work for the preparer. So there's a trade-off there. Less work for the preparer, but also less information about the entity-specific disclosure. Depending on what the regulator wants this information for or the user wants this information for, the fact it's a component of tax may be enough. The fact they don't know anything else about it may be a problem for that user. So that was a quick look at things that are working in the base taxonomy. The easiest way to see examples of those, I think, is mostly in the UK at the moment. They were the presentation they came and presented to us about how they've been using these and how they're working in their system. They, of course, use them alongside inline XBRL, so they combine the effects of those two, the format of inline XBRL and these grouping mechanisms. So has anybody got any quick questions on that before I move on to extension taxonomies themselves?
Just a very, very brief statement, which is just that when you said inline XBRL as a mechanism, that's UK inline XBRL versus perhaps the US recent inline XBRL, which is still requiring everyone to tag everything.
Yeah, it's the inline format itself, not what you do with it. It's the inline format all by itself provides a very small amount of context.
Yep.
And then in the UK, they supplement it with the mechanisms I was just talking about. In the US, it's supplemented with preparer extension taxonomies. In neither case, is it the only mechanism they use.
One additional thing to add, which is that although we call them base taxonomy mechanisms, they often require additional software functionality in order to consistently apply those mechanisms to describe something. And again, software functionality as an analyst to be able to consume that information. So although technically the resulting file is XBRL compliant, you do need extra software functionality to support those taxonomies and consistently create and consume data.
All of this does need support from the software vendor, and those tools require additional support. Okay, so then we get on to the thing that most people are more familiar with, especially if they've heard about the US system, but this is using preparer extension taxonomies. Now, these aren't only used in the US. There are now other countries around the world that ask preparers to create extension taxonomies. So we heard from those organizations when we did our initial survey of existing uses of extensions. They're generally quite similar in nature, although we discovered that the other projects using extensions have specified much more limited scope for the way they ask their extensions to be produced. Some of them have also restricted how they are to be, when they're to be created and when they're to be used in a particular way to say, for example, one system says you will create extensions for line items, but we don't want you to create any extensions for domain dimensions or members. So they are now implemented in several countries in slightly different ways. We're going to try and discuss a kind of theoretical general extension taxonomy. So we're sort of assuming that you've probably got one set of relationships, hopefully, maybe a presentation link base, possibly a calculation. So one of those will be the link base that tells you roughly what it looks like in the statement. The other one would be the link base that tells you how these things add up. And we're assuming that whatever happens, the preparer has created a labeled extension tag. So that we are assuming that in all of these examples, the minimum necessary is the creation of the tag itself and the provision of the label to go with it. Although potentially in inline that could be derived, but it wouldn't be a certain derivation again. This is a explicit link of the label to the tagged item. So when we discussed this in the group, one thing we discovered quite quickly is that when we were talking about where we could derive information already about these items and the way that things work in the US and things work elsewhere, is that we were much keener from a user perspective on information about roll-ups from the calculation link base. From a term concept of providing the most useful information about entity-specific disclosures than we were about the information coming from the presentation. This is partly because, of course, things can be presented, or when you put, they are put onto paper, they have a table, or they have some relationship, or they have some narrative explaining them. That context doesn't necessarily give us the most useful link back to something that we know about in the base taxonomy, especially if something has been categorized as these are all the exceptional items that have been gathered together. That's one context, but it doesn't then tell us about the other context, such as which parts of the financial statement were these exceptional items related to, or anything on those lines. So we constantly found ourselves coming back to saying, we just want to know, in the case of aggregations and disaggregations, what they roll up, the components roll up into, or what the components are of an entity-specific item. So we kept coming back to calculation being the most useful of the existing relationships, and potentially the most reliable. However, there are some problems with using the calculation link base to provide these in the way that it works at the moment. So, obviously, if this was the solution to everything, there wouldn't be any problems with the way that extensions are used in the US potentially at the moment. But there are a couple of sort of contributing factors that we looked at and we bear in mind. So for some cases, the problem is there are gaps. So that example I provided earlier, where we talked about the income tax, because that total tax is not reported, it wouldn't be in the calculation provided by the preparer, which means that those two tax items would not be linked to the total tax in the base taxonomy. The calculation, even though it provides a perfectly accurate roll-up from cash minus income tax to net cash, we still have nothing in the provided calculation from the preparer that says those two are tax items because it's not reported. Similarly, we have this issue that the way that calculation link base was designed in part to provide us with information about whether or not our financial statements are rolling up correctly, whether things, the roll-ups are complete and they're adding summation information. So calculation links will provide messages. I put error up there, but I think I meant to change that to say something else. They're hints, they're indications that if you're reading this statement and this is not rolling up, you want to go and look at why that is.
It's a warning.
It's a warning. And the problem is that at the moment it produces those, this means that people will often not specify calculations for incomplete roll-ups because they do not want those warnings appearing. The other thing that we see with this particular link base is that it was designed well before the dimensions came into the specifications, which means that it's basically fine for working with primary financial statements, because in many projects around the world, those are, we don't use the dimension specification, we don't break them down into columns and into tables of different categories. However, in various bits of the notes and what have you, or in other reporting systems that are primarily based on these dimensional relationships, for example, the big tabular reporting systems we see in banking, then the calculation link base no longer provides the information about the roll-up again, because it doesn't know fully about the information provided in those breakdowns. So it at the moment, it provides a certain amount of information that is useful, and some entity-specific disclosures are being very usefully handled by users with them, but these gaps mean that it cannot be relied on. So it's nearly there, is I think our conclusion. So obviously, looking through this, we discussed potentially a number of ways that we think we could improve the way that the existing link bases can be used to help users here. We discussed updates to calculation link base. Is there a way we could cover incomplete roll-ups and make it more friendly? Could we recommend in filing rules, for example, that unreported base items are included into the roll-up? So you don't report them in your report, but you indicate that they'd be in the roll-up if they had been reported. Some people have a number of problems with that suggestion. Another one was the specification of relationships in dimensions to allow us to assume roll-ups within domains. If you're familiar with the idea of a domain of a set of breakdown members, it is often informally the case in taxonomies at the moment, including preparer taxonomies, for people to give a structure for those members, saying that these two countries here roll up into this region, these two countries here roll up into that region. However, this is all not formalized within XBRL. So a user can hope that people have included those relationships and hope that they meant their roll-up relationships, and some users do now make that assumption because they're commonly used. But there's no formal meaning for that in XBRL, so that might be an area that could be looked at. These were all sort of discussed at a reasonably high level at the moment. We haven't been through and fleshed these out, so they're just notes on discussion. In particular, we haven't been through all of the specific requirements for working with dimensions yet. We're still working on that discussion. So this brings us on to things that we could do that aren't present in the way people work at the moment. Now, something that we noticed when we were talking about working with the existing link bases is that effectively what all of these things are doing is providing with us a way to get from the entity-specific item and anchor it back to a known thing in the base taxonomy. So in the case of the calculation, if the roll-up exists, it's telling us that this item is a component of this known item in the base taxonomy, and that's effectively providing an anchor. And the problem is that at the moment, we don't get a complete set of information or a complete set of anchoring information for all entity-specific disclosures, because they aren't necessarily in the information being provided at the moment. So one thing, the main alternative mechanism that the group has been discussing is this idea of providing an additional link in a preparer extension taxonomy that links a tagged entity-specific disclosure. So it's got its entity-specific tag in an entity-specific taxonomy with a label. And it has one single link that links it back to an item in the base taxonomy. So it's a single direct link. There's no need to traverse trees and work via indirect links where you've got an entity-specific thing linked to an entity-specific thing linked to a base taxonomy item. It's a single direct link. It uses mostly existing XBRL syntax structures, so that's a ridiculously complicated way of saying we could probably do it without any specification changes. There's already things in existing that would make this doable. So to provide an example, back to our lovely tax example, in this particular case, what we'd have is instead of mucking about with dimensions or tagging things as income tax and then indicating that they're component one, the aim here would just be to say, we still create a specific item that's called PRC Enterprise Income Tax Paid, and we provide a link that says, I roll up to total tax paid in the base taxonomy. That item doesn't have to be reported because we're actively stating that this link is back to the base taxonomy, regardless of whether or not something has been reported. The other thing that it's useful for, in my particular example here, what I've done is I've said this link is to the calculation parent, but we've had a number of discussions about what would potentially be the most useful link to use here. Is that our group is very biased towards thinking that the users would very much want this calculation as roll-up information. Our user members of the group are very keen on it, but it's something that we want to test and say, what really is the most useful anchor here? Do we want to go to a calculation parent? Did we want to go to the closest item that would be similar to this in the base taxonomy? However, what it does do is it very clearly provides that missing information that we weren't getting with the existing link bases. So a bit of discussion around this. Obviously, what it's doing is filling a gap. So it's particularly useful in the cases where there is a gap in the first place, so where something doesn't have a calculation, whether that's because it's missing for the reasons we discussed earlier, or whether it's because the filing system just doesn't require the submission of a calculation link base. If that's the case, then obviously that information isn't going to be there to work with, and not all preparer extension systems ask for a set of link bases. And in particular, it's very useful where the appropriate base taxonomy item isn't already reported, because those are the cases when it's going to be unlikely to be able to derive the relationship some other way. Now, if the other link bases are present, of course, you have a system like the US where you're already asking for a calculation and you're already asking for presentation, then this isn't necessarily such a clear benefit, because for many cases you can already get that information. But it does depend on something that was mentioned earlier, particularly by John, which is that a lot of software isn't making best use of these relationships at the moment. And potentially a simpler mechanism that says, here is just one relationship for you to worry about, might help facilitate that market. Obviously, we've still got a few things we need to discuss here, some of which we'll put into documents to ask people to comment on. So should the recommendation be that you only use these additional information to cover gaps, or do we want to recommend that they should always be provided so that the information is consistently available? Now, those are both questions which come back to Chi's comment earlier, which is the concept of talking about what impact this has on preparers, because both of those are subtly different requirements from a preparer and a software point of view. So that was by far the sort of the more detailed bit of new information. We've got a number of bits here. We've got, I've summarised some of the conclusions so far. Do people want to ask me questions on that section, or shall I just go straight to the bit where we ask for your feedback?
I just wanted to add one thing on this. You know, as we went through all this, we had some discussion about legacy projects, and so what we might recommend or what would be acceptable for a legacy project as opposed to a new project. And there could be a couple of different recommendations depending on, you know, where the project state. You know, we hear from different projects that, well, that's a nice idea, but we're already very vested in this solution, and we're going to try and make something around that work, as opposed to adopting some sort of new relationship. One of the things I think is important for Exterior International to think about is what are the nature of the relationships that we currently have, and why do we have them? John, you might know, I'm sure you know better than I do, but when those link bases were first created, I don't think they were created with the appreciation or understanding of how users were going to try and use them for understanding the data. And so today, when we are talking to users about walking the trees and using those relationships, we frequently are known to say, well, you need to look at the presentation hierarchy. No, you need to look at the calculation hierarchy. No, you need to look at the definition, dimension hierarchy. Actually, you need to look at all three of those. From a user's perspective, that's a totally unacceptable answer. And what we really need is a single hierarchy of relationships that the analysts can rely on, that will tell them what they need to know about how those items relate to each other, be they extension or otherwise. But right now, we're trying to simply use what we have in place, which is not unusual as projects develop. But if I was starting a new project today, I might want to think about that very differently.
And certainly that comment I made earlier about whether or not we recommend potentially that anchors could be used just to patch holes in the game information existing link bases, or whether they should just be used as a single mechanism by themselves that says always use them, always anchor an entity-specific disclosure, then even though that technically may not be quite as complete as combining all the information you have from the presentation, the calculation, the label, it's still a lot simpler and it's in one place, and if you're a new project, that might be much easier to pick up than a system where you're patching holes in a filing system you've already got and people are already working with it.
The other thing that my team speculates about is that this anchoring mechanism may well force behaviours which are positive. In other words, people will go, oh, look, there is a tag here, I should use it, which is clearly one of the main problems with extensions in multiple projects.
I can't see the difference from the presentation link base and the anchoring.
So the presentation link base is a tree. You say this item has been presented, this is the top item in the tree. Underneath it, it's got three subcategory items. Underneath that, it might have another two subcategory items. So the things in those two subcategory items, you have to go and say they're linked to this first set of subcategories, then it's linked to the top level. So you have to walk a tree. The anchoring is a single relationship from one extensity specific disclosure to one base taxonomy item. That's it, no tree.
Imagine that from real financial statement, if there's some extension in the financial statement, that extension is usually put on somewhere in the presentation.
Yes.
So that if the user knows about the meaning of this extension, maybe a presentation is most, you know, the appropriate to explanation about this extension.
Potentially, yes, and that's why one of the things we discussed is the use of the existing things. However, something that we've discovered is that where something is presented does not, as with that tax example, that was presented in a cash table. It doesn't tell us anything about it being taxed. So the issue is trying to fill in that kind of hole. And the anchoring thing would say, we know this is tax. Somebody could then go and look at the presentation and say, oh right, it's being reported because we're subtracting it from the cash.
Before we have been talking about this issue, there was at the time, maybe category that can prohibit to extend specific items, which is naturally become a top of the presentation. So that maybe we can do something even using the presentations. I think it's quite difficult to increase in some kind of new linkage.
Yes, I think that's where Lewis's point about. Chi, your microphone's not on.
Good, but maybe we can implement it in the existing another link bases.
As I said, we have gone through and discussed some of the ways to improve existing link bases. And as Lewis says, an existing system may be more or less interested in adding something new on top to the way their mechanisms are working. However, at the moment, most of the improvements that we've come up with don't quite fill all the gaps. So if you're a system owner, you'd have to sit there and say, okay, I am happy with the way the presentation works. It is more workable for my users to look in these two different places, but that's okay for the users in my system. However, there are going to be some others who say that those gaps exist and that's not okay. And there isn't an easy way to provide that additional information within the presentation structure, because of course, if we say this item is that tax item is presented under cash, putting in another presentation link that says, oh, by the way, it's related to income tax, will no longer represent what the presentation looks like. So we're subverting the meaning of that link base. But that might be something that if a regulator doesn't use it for literally representing the presentation, they might be happy with that. So
which in an inline world you could.
Which in an inline world
use it a little bit differently.
But we definitely considered both cases, which is the cases where people don't want to add new mechanisms and they've got existing filing systems, but also the case for people who may be open to changing the way their current filing system works or may be interested in starting from scratch. There's quite a few systems starting from scratch and saying, is there just a simple thing that I can do, even if it's new, that I can just go with now? So the document's not going to say, you do this one thing. It's going to go through these options and describe them.
I would like to bring in also another aspect, because I think this is a very much technical driven discussion which you are leading. But I mean, the basic question should be also, in my point of view from preparer's perspective, what is driving this disclosure?
Yeah.
So what's really behind that? Because basic question is it a voluntary or is it a mandatory disclosure? If it's a mandatory disclosure, and there is no element existing in a taxonomy,
something is wrong.
It would even mean that it's actually an inappropriate taxonomy and it's not really in that sense an extension which is really required. So the question is really, and even looking on this example, it really sounds for me here very much as a local requirement. So it's actually from a preparer's perspective, it's mandatory. It's really mandatory. And the question is then, if you start to do, I would say, these technical remediation to form extension, like saying anchoring or, the question is, do you really increase the transparency with that? Because the preparer would argue this is a mandatory disclosure, please change your base taxonomy, it's incomplete. Yeah. And so that's something I would really would ask also from a preparer's perspective, because you actually would even mislead, or you could mislead with that kind of mechanism which you use. And at the end of the day, it's really the question, do you increase the transparency, which is really the main objective of XBRL. Huh?
Yeah, the issue that you've identified there is, you know, is the base, if it's a required disclosure, is the base taxonomy complete? Unfortunately, and this is certainly the case in the US, a filer can choose to report something in a subtly different way that meets the disclosure requirement but is sufficiently different that they need to extend. Now, we have debated that for hours as to whether they need to extend or not. But if they feel it's sufficiently different, it includes a component that makes it different from everybody else's revenue or whatever it is, they extend it. And it's not in a base taxonomy, and so it's impossible for us to fully anticipate all those items. Now, there's different projects around the world that treat that in a variety of different ways, but for our project, that's still a very different topic.
And from a group perspective, we deliberately wanted to say, okay, we want to assume that there is a good reason for this entity-specific disclosure being here, because we think that flexible reporting around the world has a genuine requirement, that they're not all errors, that they, a lot of them will be voluntary requirements. And where that is true, we want a much better way for users to handle them.
And now, this is more so the case with principle-based reporting as well. Mm-hmm. This just emphasizes it.
So the group wants to say, if they exist, here's a better way of dealing with them. Now, the question you're talking about, which is how do you design the base taxonomy properly? How do you make sure it covers everything that should be there? How detailed and granular does your base taxonomy go? Do you make it large to cover all these items? Do you talk to your preparers and they say, well, this is effectively mandatory. Why is it not in? And there's another question, which is, if it's local requirements, well, shouldn't we be encouraging local jurisdictions to produce those local extension taxonomies to cover them in a consistent fashion? And adding them to the base taxonomy and creating taxonomy extensions. All those questions are very, very important and very valid. And what we're doing is we're passing them to the relevant groups to make sure they get answered. So, for example, your question says, doesn't this mean the base taxonomy is inadequate? Potentially, we pass that over to TAGTF and say, look, it looks like we might need some really good advice here for building base taxonomies to say, examine the field and check that you have the appropriate coverage. If your regions have regional practice, encourage them to produce regional based extension taxonomies, that kind of thing. Because some of that's not happening at the moment either. It's sort of awareness that where we come across those problems and they are important is to pass them on to the right people.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions.
It was on, you turned it off, I think.
Okay. I should confess that I didn't understand it completely, but two questions do come up. One is when you render this information with an anchor, anchoring arc role, are you considering linking like a presentation, link-based oriented approach?
At the moment, to be honest, we haven't considered rendering as a part of it. So I think one of the reasons that when we discuss anchoring, we don't consider it as an additional thing in, for example, the presentation link base, is that some people still use the presentation link base for rendering. And it would really confuse a renderer to say, I'm presented in this hierarchy, but I've also got a link for income tax. However, we're also aware that increasingly people don't use the presentation link base for rendering, and there's definitely an emphasis at Expert International to say it's actually all about navigating the taxonomy. That's not really what it's there for.
Uh-huh.
So I think this anchoring thing, we haven't finalised exactly how we'd put it in as a syntax recommendation, and that's partly for the syntax group to say, actually, we think this would be the best way to do it in expert syntax, because that's what the standards group there for, they're all syntax experts. But yes, I think exerting it into something like the presentation link base, if people are using that for rendering, I think that would be very confusing, as you say. So, potentially somewhere else.
The second question is there a possibility of multiple anchors, or is it going to be only one anchor per an entity?
We have definitely discussed multiple anchors. We haven't gone much further with them as a recommendation because some of the decisions for when to add multiple anchors looked complicated, but we have been through and discussed them, particularly in the case of combination items, to say this subtotal is a combination of four different components. Three of them are in the base taxonomy. They're not reported. Let's link them. But the discussions for that kind of thing ran quite quickly into the idea that if something has not been reported, there was probably a reason for that. So why are we anchoring back to it? So we've definitely discussed multiple anchors. I think potentially that's a sort of extension somebody could do locally. But if we've got this minimum recommendation of one anchor, then it's easy for people to work with and extend it. Whereas if we go into the detail, it's less easy for people to chop it back.
Mike has got a comment.
Two questions. Are there aggregators or vendors on the committee?
We've got, this is where I have to think about it. We have got software vendors on the group. We have got an ex-aggregator on the group. I don't think we've got any current aggregators in this group at the moment.
We have one that doesn't attend.
We have one that doesn't attend, so they expressed interest and then did not turn up. So one of the things that we know we need to do with the first sort of version of this document is these go out for public consultation anyway. New best practice material goes out for a period of public consultation. And one thing that we do want is users to contribute more to this. Now, a lot of users, we do have some users in the group. A lot did not initially join the group, which has made that a little bit harder. So we really do, when we do the first public versions of this and we start talking about this, we really do want users, even if they can't spare the time to be involved in the group, to get back to us and say, yes, that would work for me, no, that doesn't quite work for me, and forgive us the reasons.
So on that point, I know there's an Experial Data Quality Committee meeting that we're gonna have. If there was something that we could use in that discussion, that might be useful. I want to say that's like mid-November.
Okay. I'll get that back to you on data quality.
And at a data quality committee about a month or two ago, we brought up anchoring and asked the four users, what do you think? You know, is this going in a bad direction or a good direction? And the general feel was a very good direction, that this seems to make sense. Now, did they run it through their software engines or their, probably not, but they were
early stage for that.
Yeah, but they were very positive about it.
So second question was, is there any suggestions like implementation roadmap, you know, like primary tables, then footnotes, or any kind of way to think about how we might pilot this in some manner?
We haven't got to that area of discussion, no, for ways to pilot it. As I said, the closest we've got is the idea that there may want to be different ways to consider introducing it if you've got an existing filing system as opposed to introducing from scratch. Because obviously from scratch it's much easier. There's a bit of a consideration about how much information you want with a new filing system, but if you've decided that this is enough, then it's very easy to just go with it. If you've got an existing system, it is obviously more complicated. But the group itself hasn't really gone down that implementation route. We kind of almost feel it's sort of a bit out of our scope, but obviously it does overlap to some extent.
Thank you. Thank you.
It would be very helpful for projects around the world to provide feedback when this document gets released, with thoughts about how it might or might not meet their own timelines, because then implementation of some of the syntactic and other things can be prioritized. With all of these things, there's a big balance between rushing things to marketplace and letting people nut them out for an extended period.
Yeah, we're definitely having to work quite closely with that balance, that we know this is something that some people want out relatively soon because there are different timelines around the world and it's a relatively urgent issue, versus the fact that we do want it to be right when that happens.
I'm sorry, did you give us an ETA of when that's going to be available?
Lewis, I think this is a question for the co-chair.
Soon.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned, that's what I said.
Looking forward to your talk in Singapore in 2 weeks' time exactly.
It'll be a bit compressed version of that.
Thank you.
May have a few more details, by the way. But unfortunately, we did have to kind of cancel a call to do today because the calls are on Tuesday, so that didn't help.
The question is that this link is basically is additional information. It's not replacing something existing.
That would depend on the regulator.
Okay.
The aim is, if this exists, then the regulator could decide whether or not that was sufficient information, this new link, because it provides a single reliable source of information, or if they actually look at it and say, we'd also really like the other information from the other link bases and do some combination.
Because we are using XPRA, and the most important thing is the link base is presentation link, because if there's no presentation, we can't make it correct the financial statement.
Yeah, so you're using it for rendering.
So after inline studies, what we realized that sometimes companies, it's quite difficult to make a taxonomy as seen as the inline.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the taxonomy order is happens. So that they making something that cannot appear on the presentation is quite difficult for company side. So this link role maybe might have a new problem. How company can make it correct?
As I think we said,
it
does require support from the software vendor. I mean.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that shouldn't appear in an inline document and shouldn't appear in rendering,
yes.
But that software should, when preparers are working with it, should say, this is a new item, you need to tell me which base taxonomy item it relates to, tick yes, and then it shows vendors that as they need to. It very definitely, all of these mechanisms do rely on software support.
And I think at the same time, it depends on how regulator providing the basic taxonomy. So I think that the base taxonomy must be more better and if the base taxonomy more, you know, that the strict rule or how can I say the structures, the company don't need to extend for the top of the presentation, or the company don't need to extend the cash and asset. But sometimes company extends so much, you know, the big reasons. For example, I don't like this name. So that in that case, it's really necessary to buy some kind of new technology for some kind of reason. So that at the same time, we don't need to give up everything. It's even though the principle basis, we still continue to discussing about the how base taxonomy.
Yes, it is not intended to replace decisions about base taxonomies, decisions about tagging rules. We have other working groups to also answer those questions. It's just that this specific group has one specific task. We have the Alex Spiro International has other groups discussing the other issues. It's not intended to replace or change those. It's intended to be another supplement. Hence the original assumptions for the group that we're assuming you've got a good base taxonomy. Alex Spiro International has other groups whose job it is to look at the architecture of the base taxonomy.
Thanks, Jay. You have. Oh, sorry.
So if I understand correctly, you've got three different possible solutions to this. So the type dimension using link bases, using anchoring.
Yes, effectively.
Are there any others that you've considered rejected, that others are recommended, or is this the population of possible solutions?
It's most of the population. We haven't heard other suggestions for completely new areas to work with. There are a number of other groups working with sort of subsets of that existing link-based one. So the US does it one way, Denmark does it another way. Other groups have proposed doing it other ways when they're working to put it up. They all have different rules within the range of using that mechanism, but they're not changing it completely.
Are you going to make a recommendation in your report as to which one should be used?
I defer to somebody who's in charge of Expo International.
We would like not just the recommendation, we would like then to be able to constrain it in the sense that if a regulator in adopting this new body of work decides to utilise it, then they can force its use.
I presume a regulator can force the use of one of these anyway, and my understanding is that...
Well, maybe not in a technical sense. They can write a policy which says you shall do this, but then they won't always necessarily be able to technically enforce that. So literally, the document won't arrive because it's not validated unless it conforms to those rules.
Okay. I'm not sure I understand
so
that.
That would be erroneous if someone did that. Promoting best practice, which is what the first document does. It's saying, we've examined all the market out there, these are some best practice recommendations. And then there's making it possible for the XBRL syntax to enforce those recommendations.
That's better.
From a syntax point of view.
My understanding is that different regulators have already entered this field and have made recommendations, requirements. So the UK has gone for the first one, the US has gone for the second one.
Sort of the other way around, yes. That is right, isn't it? Yes.
Wait, which was first?
Yeah.
In order for this to really be of use to investors, surely we can't have more than one approach to this. That'd be crazy.
That's very true.
But if regulators have already invested and gone down different routes, how on earth are we going to achieve
consistency? So the purpose of this is, over time, to draw that back and have a consistent approach. We know that that takes time. We don't have as the specifications body, we don't have a framework that allows us to force regulators to utilize specific components of the specification.
Are you working with regulators as part of this process? Do you have regulators on your committee?
We've got regulators in the group.
Yep.
Separately, the IFRS Foundation also has links with regulators in that are related issues, but from an Expo International point of view, it's regulators on the group and regulators as members.
Yep.
And how long is this all going to take?
That's a good question. We need this set of recommendations. Implementing the syntax is then a question of discussing that with regulators as well as vendors. If we rush that, we tend to get it wrong, so it's probably 12 months. From there, the extent to which we attempt to enforce that, it is very difficult to try to ask any regulator, as we've sort of had indications from around the table, to say, oh, let's go and change something that we've had implemented for 5 years. It takes them multiple years to make that decision. It's very hard to create backward incompatibility. We have to think in terms of backward compatibility. if there's some magic wands within the ISB, all ears. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I have a question about the first solution. If I understand correctly, who is in charge of developing this first solution? Is it each project individually? Is it the foundation?
This is where we put stuff in the base taxonomy.
Yes.
And don't ask for extensions.
So it's that. The foundation does it?
Potentially, it could be the foundation or it could be regulators, because regulators often extend our base taxonomy themselves to add things in that are useful to them. So the foundation could provide those mechanisms because they've been recommended, and then regulators could use them or not. Or the recommendation could be to regulators, if you want to use them, add them in a regulatory extension, and then they're in charge of deciding whether or not they use their recommendations. But both would happen.
Okay, now my second question follows from Chi's question, which is basically, if I understand correctly, the whole task force is agnostic about the question whether each extension, whether it's needed or not. It's just to provide a solution for when an extension is required by a preparer, but completely agnostic about whether something should or should not be.
Yeah, there's another
extended
group that's aiming to.
There's an underlying assumption that a lot of extensions that exist today are actually unnecessary.
Yes, and
but that's something regulators really need to enforce, because that's a judgment question for the preparer rather than something that you can impose from technical standpoint.
Shouldn't we combine then the two works? Because if we provide a very useful solution for extensions, then we endorse all extensions, correct? That's the message, or you don't agree with that? Shouldn't those two work streams be combined in the way to say, you know, this is how we look at extensions on the substance, like she says, not all extensions are justified, but when you do it, this is where the solution is, or not?
Well, a group separated them initially in order to make something doable within the time scale, and to say, okay, we'll provide a solution that allows people to work with them regardless, and then we'll work on whether or not they should be existing in the first place.
Yeah, this is not to encourage extensions.
It's not to encourage
and
extensions,
it's to try
and step down in a certain order. Definitely agree that the other topic is extremely important, and it's been on the discussions for things that this group could continue in future, or potentially the filing group discussion could be passed on to that group. We're not sure yet.
We do have another macro issue there, which I alluded to earlier, which is that we have different countries and different regulators with different levels of sophistication. And it is the case today that many regulators, especially in developing countries, certainly are never going to allow an extension today. They are merely seeking a small template to provide some ways of searching through a large pile of financial information. And you know, that's very useful, but it's not nearly at the level of sophistication of what Andy's been describing. And probably it relates to more sophisticated markets. That's a generalization.
But of course, we've got IFRS filings in both those types of markets.
Absolutely.
Can we take Carly's question and then, I think, wrap up?
Move on to content, yeah.
So my question was really for recognizing this as a working group at Expo International. To what extent have you been capturing the wider requirements that led one jurisdiction or another to consider one of these approaches? So to put that in context for others in the rooms, some of these jurisdictions wanted to control, for example, when an entity should or should not extend. So in this case, for breaking down tax items, you should extend. In another case, if you broke them down, you don't need to create an entity-specific disclosure.
We asked, when we got the initial presentations from existing jurisdictions, about their projects and what it was they were intending to solve and why they were doing these things. So to that extent, it's been in there. But of course, it's a bit tricky separating out the reasons which are related to limiting extensions from the reasons which are enabling covering them. So where there's mixed reasons there, it's a bit tricky for us to follow that through. But we did ask everybody what the reasons were for creating the mechanisms in the first place, because that helps tell us what uses they were trying to cover. And we then feed that into our business cases and say, okay, this mechanism is trying to cover this. This is the information it provides, this is the information it doesn't provide. But it's partly there, but it's not a major detail.
My closing comment is that although two mechanisms may on paper provide exactly the same level of information. Often when the data is consumed, it's easier or more complex with today's technology to actually make use of that relationship.
Yeah.
And that often factors in regulators' minds, particularly given the technology they've currently got in play.
Yeah, that comes into trying to consider the cost as well,
yep,
of the information.
Is it quick?
Yeah, has there been any investigation into the experiences of the CoREP FinRep taxonomies across Europe, which have been extended back in 2006, 2007, grossly into 28 countries or so, and then by the different preparers? And that led to massive disruption of all these extended elements, which were incomparable. In turn, the EBA and IOPA decided to actually harmonize the model at a much more granular level. Has the group looked into this case specifically? Because it's a big history of XBRL as well.
It hasn't looked into that one specifically, but that's partly because we're moving into the dimensions discussion as a sort of second discussion. So that will come in as part of the future discussion on dimensions, because the finer details of how all this works with the lovely syntax complications of axes, dimensions, domains, and members is where we're going next, to see if there's other things that we can do in that area, at which point examples for things like the CoREP and FinRep and more dimensional stuff will come in.
Yeah, because CoREP and FinRep started off as form-centric, very, very, very similar, like what we have right now in the IFRS taxonomy. And then it went into more dimensional because it was more granular. But it's just as a recommendation.
I will certainly take a look at them, but there's also the fact that we're not discussing how base taxonomy design implemented it. So the fact that decision said we'll design the base taxonomy completely differently is sort of on the edge of where we put our recommendations. But we'll look into it.
But if we had a base taxonomy designed that way, how would that impact our discussion?
Which is where we get into it with the dimensions. Yeah. So it's unfortunately at the moment it kind of sits as a bit of an edge to the whole discussion, rather than something we've discussed in detail.
You wanted some feedback? Do you want to figure out how to handle that piece, or do you have enough?
I think we've got quite a lot just from the discussion we've managed to have now, but obviously people were still putting the cards up, so if anybody else does want to contribute more, then email us. You can email us at the group at xbrl.org, or you can email me at IFRS and I'll forward it on to the relevant group. Or you can join the group. New members welcome, especially users.
Great. Thanks, Andy.